Good morning. We are delighted that you are here with us in person. I'm trying to do my best Wendy impersonation as they are out today. But we welcome you here this morning, those with us on social media, those with us on the radio, those visiting. We welcome you this morning on the 17th of July. And as we get started, just a few announcements. First one today is we have a youth and I would say a family outing to the social house in Withville, and it's for trampoline park. It's got bowling, and it has billiards, it has darts, it has laser tag, it has the arcade, and so there's still spots open. If you would like to come, if your youth or children like to come, certainly we are meeting here at 2:45 this afternoon. We have rented the place from 4 to 6. It includes pizza and drinks. It's $20 a person, and it's an incredible deal to get all of that for $20, including your meal. And so they're giving us a really good deal. I believe it's called Crossroads Social House in Withville. So you can either meet us there, or you can meet us here at 2:45, and our time starts at 4 o'clock. I do have waiver forms. They're on the back table that's inside here in the narthex that the cross is on. So adults and youth and children, if you are going to bounce, you need to sign a waiver form. And so they're there. You can either sign it and leave it there, and I'll get it after the service, or you can grab one and just bring it at 2:45. But we need your permission so that if your child does get hurt, we do not hold the establishment liable. And, of course, if you're jumping around on trampolines, there's a good chance they'll sprain an ankle. But anyway, so that's going on today. We look forward to it. It should be a great time, a great afternoon. And if you're coming, just let me know or fill it out back there, and I'll have your name and who's going. This week, we have Wednesday night choir practice, and we have prayer time at 6:30. So I encourage you to come out for that as well. And really, that's about all we have right now is we're in the middle of the summer. A lot of people still on vacations and planning to take vacations, and we're still a month out from school starting, at least here in Galax. And as we get started, I came across a reading earlier this week from Oswald Chambers, and it's called The Spiritually Lazy Saint. And this kind of goes with our theme that I've been preaching on about not going all in and just being a fan of Jesus rather than a true follower. And he says here, as he refers to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He says we are all capable of being spiritually lazy saints. We want to stay off the rough roads of life. Our primary objective is to secure a peaceful retreat from the world. The ideas put forth in these verses from Hebrews 10 are those of stirring up one another and of keeping ourselves together. Both of these require initiative. Our willingness to take the first step toward Christ realization, not the initiative toward self realization. To live a distant, withdrawn, and secluded life is diametrically opposed to the spiritual life as Jesus Christ taught it. The true test of our spirituality occurs when we come up against injustice, degradation, ingratitude, turmoil, all of which have the tendency to make us spiritually lazy. While being tested, we want to use prayer and Bible reading for the purpose of finding a quiet retreat. We use God only for the sake of getting peace and joy. We seek only our enjoyment of Jesus Christ, but not a true realization of him. This is the first step in the wrong direction. All these things we are taking are simply effects, and we try to make them causes. Yes, I think it is right, Peter said, to stir you up by reminding you. It is the most disturbing thing to be hit squarely in the stomach by someone being used of God to stir us up. Someone who is full of spiritual activity. Simple active work and spiritual activity are not the same thing. Active work can actually be the counterfeit of spiritual activity. The real danger in spiritual laziness is that we do not want to be stirred up. All we want to hear about is spiritual retirement from the world. Yet Jesus Christ never encourages this idea of retirement. He says, go and tell my brethren. He concludes with this. It is perilously possible to make our conceptions of God like molten lead poured into a specifically designed mold, and when it is cold and hard, we fling it at the heads of the religious people who do not agree with us. You know, so often I think we can get caught up in maybe doing the work of God, and we forget to spend time with God. And for the Christian, for the saint, that is a very tricky place when we find ourselves consumed with the activity of religion rather than spending time with the God who created religion. And so my hope is, in this week and next week, I'll finish the series, that we will realize what it takes to go all in for God, to not shy away from the tumultuous world in which we live, but to charge at it, but like a glass of water charging the gates of hell, not worrying that we cannot or will not be defeated. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your words this morning. I thank you from Hebrews, and I certainly thank you for the words of Oswald Chambers, a man who not only followed you, but who was overly convicted so often, as we can tell through his writings, because every time I open him up, I am convicted of my own shortcomings, especially in relation with you. Father, we praise you that we will embrace you, that we will take the initiative to pursue you, that we'll have the desire to open up the scriptures with delight, as we do with the entertainment things of this world. We just thank you so much for your patience with us. And may we go forth. And in any area that may be lazy or lacking, I pray that you will show us and help us. And we just pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Patty and Ed, for preparing our hearts in such a beautiful way. Let's stand and worship together.
To God be the glory, great things He has done, so loved He the world that He gave us His.
To receive glory.
receive glory.
Come to the front, please, for children's time.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad you're here. And just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. You're special. What do we have here? Salt. Everybody have this in their house? You know, a long time ago, it was very, very rare. It was hard to get salt. That's for sure. What are some of the things that we can do with salt? What do you think of it when you think of salt? Perfect. You put it on food. It's flavoring. Have you ever had popcorn that didn't have salt on it? It's a bummer. But if you put a little bit of salt, but you know you can overdo a good thing, so you don't want to overdo it. But the Bible says that we're the salt of the earth. What do you think that means? Have any ideas? How can we be salt of the earth? Well, what are some other things that are salt is used for? It's used for flavoring food. Can you think of anything else it's used for? It's a preservative. Before people had refrigeration, they would put salt on meat. Any of you old enough here to remember that? Few of you? Okay, I see some gray hairs out there. A lot of times they'll take fish and they salt fish down and use it. You go to Zambia and you have to, don't breathe in if you can help it, but you pass it by and it has its own fragrance to it. But there's lots of fish, and that's how they preserve it. It's just laying the salt onto it, and I guess it lasts forever. I've never tried it. Well, I tried it once. But anyway, salt can be used for a lot of things. And one of the interesting things about salt is that a long time ago, when it was really rare to have salt, they would use it for money. They would pay the soldiers with salt. In fact, the word salary comes from the word salt. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So, and then we have to stop and think, well, what does God mean when he says that we are the salt of the earth? So we're supposed to add flavor to things. Don't want to overdo it. But Paul was in prison, and he said this. Could you put this scripture up, please? Let your conversation... Help me, come on. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul was in prison, and what he was saying was that he didn't say, oh, get me out of prison. What he said was, pray for me, because I want to be able to answer people when they want to know about Jesus. I want to be able to tell them that he loves them so much. And the mystery of Christ is that God became a man. And when he became a man, he's saying, I love you so much, I'm going to become one of you. I'm going to come there, and I'm going to communicate with you, and I'm going to tell you how much I love you. And he loves you with a deep and everlasting love. And he came to show us how to behave and how to talk and how to love each other and how to live. But most of all, he said he wanted to prepare us, he wanted to forgive our sins and prepare us to go to heaven, because we're eternal. We're going to last forever somewhere. So I'm going to ask for help, and Dr. McPherson has agreed to help me, and I'm going to tell you why we're doing this, because when I tried to do it, Sometimes I was successful and sometimes not so much. So he has been drafted, and he's going to help me do this. So you might, if you're a praying person, you might want to start praying now. Okay. So this is just a regular cup, and it just happened to work that if I turn it upside down. Dr. McPherson brought some eggs. Pastor, if we mess up, Dr. McPherson said he'd clean it up, kind of, right?
Sure.
I've messed up on this stage several times. So we'll clean it up. I hope it doesn't mess up. But Dr. McPherson said he dropped an egg on the floor in his house. And my husband has eaten over a dozen eggs this week while I practice this. So what you're doing, especially what we're doing, if you're listening on the radio, we're taking an egg and we're trying to balance it. Because as Christians, we need to be balanced. And what we're trying to do is uplift Jesus. And we're salt. So I'm going to take some salt and sprinkle it on here. And Dr. McPherson's ahead of me. But we're going to try to balance it. And we may or may not be successful with this. If not, my husband said he's going to take me home anyway. I've had a week to practice. So we're still watching Dr. McPherson here. Do this. See, the thing is, if I just did it by myself and I was like him and I wasn't successful, then you'd think, you know, not so good. But, oh! Dr. McPherson did that. Pastor, you're not upset, I can tell, right? I love being in this church because he never gets upset with me yet. But anyway, I came prepared. We've got stuff. Don't you drop yours. Okay. So we've got it cleaned up. If it falls on the floor, I can get down, but I can't get up. So you know how that feels, do you? Uh-huh. Yeah, I can get down there, but it takes prayer to get up. Okay. Well, I can try it again. You want me to try it again? Okay. And you can do this at home if your parents will let you. It cost about $3 to do this for a whole dozen eggs. Now, I'm not sure this will do, but we'll just kind of. I should have stopped while I was ahead, right? Okay. Dr. McPherson is still working on his. Okay.
Persistence,
yeah.
Maybe.
Oh! Do you want to stop or should we? How long do you have, Pastor? Let me tell you, this table is shaky, and so we had to, Brian fixed it for me, so because we can't have, can I tell you something? You got it wrong. And look at it. It's kind of, you get, oh.
Another egg for James.
We had omelet, we've had custard, we've had scrambled eggs. All right, now see, you got it straight. All right, go for it. I'm not going to do yours. Listen, I have to help. I have to tell you, Dr. McPherson is a good sport, and we have done this. I did this for a week. I mean, a solid week. We've been through at least 18 eggs. Okay, but if you practice, I think he's using super glue. He's using the egg white there. Okay.
Sometimes you try, and sometimes
it doesn't do. Let's just go. Okay. The good thing is he's a good sport. That's what counts. So would you please close, children, go home, if your parents will give you a dozen eggs. It is pure fun to do, and anybody can do it. Well, almost anybody can do it. So you just take the egg, and you can use anything. It doesn't have to be like this is a candle holder. I don't have egg holders at my house like some people have fancy stuff. I don't have fancy stuff. So, but you can use anything. Like this is just a cup. So just flip it over backwards or anything that you can use that'll hold it. You can just get a little ring or a little piece of metal and you hold it and then you put your salt on there and then hold, and you got to be patient and hold it. And it does take some practice, but thank you for being a good sport.
I did it 4 times. Is it on?
No, you have to cut it down.
Mute.
Yeah. Try it.
Testing. Am I on?
Let me hold it. Is he on? He's on.
Yeah, it's on now. Okay. Yes, a medical degree, you don't need a medical degree, and a medical degree, as you see, does not help you. So, Heavenly Father, gracious, wonderful, amazing, sweet, strong, loving Jesus, thank you for having us here today. Thank you for these precious young people that you have called and that you have given a wonderful plan for their life and that you're opening and unveiling that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to be what we are, salt, light, love to those that need love. We give you thanks and praise in the majestic, mighty, and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Children, here's some candy.
Now I can get to the candy. Will you stand with us, please?
Thank you, David. You go home and you'll do it.
Oh,
This morning, as we continue in this series, I have titled here, No More Half-Stepping. And that is not a jig or a dance. That is not giving everything you have to offer, only half of what you're willing. Let me ask you something. What would happen if you did your job only at half the effort required? You'd be out, right? Or you'd have a sorry excuse of an employer to allow you to continue. What if I only put in half the effort here? You can say it. The moving van would be at 324 Fox Run Drive. I know. Because you expect me to put forth the effort. And we all expect one another to put forth the effort, especially when we're being paid for the effort. How about this one? What would happen to a professional sports team if its players showed up for only half the practices? The team wouldn't be nearly as good, would it? I remember coaching middle school boys. We had a situation where, you know, this is school ball as opposed to rec ball. You know there's a difference, right? Rec ball, everybody plays the same amount of time and you get a medal, trophy, or whatever at the end of the season, regardless of how well or poorly you did. You got that participation trophy, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? We actually, one year when I was doing middle school basketball, now this was a church league, so it was a little different, but we went 0 for 8 that season. I had boys in fourth grade that didn't even know how to throw the ball inbounds because they'd never played before. And so we finished 0-8. Our best loss was we lost by 20. That was our best loss. I remember forget, at the end of the season, one of the moms are like, but we need to throw the kids a party and have trophies for them. And I looked at her and I said, for what? For finishing last? Oh no, they're self-esteem. It's like, self-esteem. So as you can tell, I'm more from the old school model when it comes to sports. Well, in school ball, you play to win. Right? You guys with me? Those who have played school ball? You play to win. You practice every day, Monday through Friday, unless you have games, and you play to win the game, you play to win the league, and you play to win the tournaments. Which means some games, your weaker players aren't even going to get into the game. When I was in sixth grade, I made the middle school team. The only time they put me in the game is when we were up by 20 or more with 2 minutes left. Because I was 4 foot nothing at that point, and I was a liability on the court. By eighth grade, I started. I was a starting point guard. But that's the deal. You know the deal. I wanted to win. I didn't care if I played or, I mean, I wanted to play, but if there were better players and that meant we were going to win, by golly, I wanted to win and go to the playoffs. And I remember, I never forget, we had one child on the team. We had 11 kids, and this one child wasn't gifted in basketball. His gift was in soccer. He was a very good soccer player, but not a very good basketball player. And his parents were very frustrated with the head coach and myself. I was the assistant coach because he didn't get a lot of playing time. And so she decided then, the mother came to us and decided to hold him from practices. How do you think that made things go with his playing time? It got worse. We put in a new play. See, and I remember we put in a new out-of-bounds play from underneath the rim. Now this child did not know the play because he never came to practice anymore. We couldn't put him in the games in certain situations if we knew we were going to run that play because he didn't know it, because he didn't come to practice. So I'm going to show you a clip here. This is one of my favorite clips in 2012 of Allen Iverson. You guys all know who Allen Iverson is? What's He was a guard for Georgetown University, and he went on to play for the Philadelphia 76ers. He was an excellent basketball player. But I'll never forget this interview he had when they were talking about practice.
It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man. When you come in the arena and you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now.
But it's an issue that you're
coaching. We're talking about practice. Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too. But we're talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We're talking about practice.
Alan, is it possible, though, that from where he's coming from...
We're talking about practice. He was an excellent player, and he did. If you watched him play, he left everything out on the court during the game. But he was the franchise player, and he did not like to show up for practice. He never won a ring. And maybe that had something to do with it. I shared this video. I'm going to share one, which is the exact opposite, one of Michael Jordan, here in a minute. But to understand where I'm going with this morning, we have to give our full effort to the advancement of God's kingdom, to God's agenda. I think so often, far too many of us half-step our way in our relationship with the Lord that we forsake our spiritual development, and then when we need Him to show up, we wonder why He doesn't. See, it doesn't work that way. It takes effort, consistency, dedication, hard work, and diligence in our relationship with the Lord. These are spiritual disciplines we have to put in place in our lives if we're going to have a true walk with the Lord. Or like I said last week, are we just going to go through the motions? I mean, it takes effort. Whatever part of the day is your best day that you can get with the Lord, then you need to make sure you protect that time. Mine is first thing in the morning. That's why most mornings I get up very early before the day starts to unravel. Why? So I can put that time and that diligence and that consistency every morning. And that doesn't mean every morning I feel like it, especially when you don't feel like it. You better kick yourself in the butt to make yourself. How many of us like to go to practice every day if we're practicing something? We don't. Whether it's a music lesson, whether it's dance, whether it's a sporting event that we're a part of. I remember 6 years ago when our seventh and eight-year-old machine pitch all-star team for South Hill Dixie, and I was one of the assistant coaches. Elijah was on the team. He was seven at the time. And I remember when the team was picked and the coaches were picked, the head coach, who's a really good friend of mine, we practiced every day for 2 hours, 3 weeks straight, leading up to the first district tournament. And when I talk about practice, I'm talking about we did hitting drills where the kids were hitting and taking over 100 swings every day, whether it was from the gun or whether it was hitting a wiffle ball or hitting a little golf ball with a PVC pipe. We were doing reps and reps and reps every day leading up to that tournament. We went undefeated and won the tournament. We went on to the state tournament, and we lost in the state championship game to Appomattox. And our team was not as good as other teams, but we were coached so well, and we practiced so much that the kids knew what to do, and it was a phenomenal run we had. But it was because of the practice and the diligence and the hard work and the dedication. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you do not apply these characteristics to your spiritual life, you will not have a relationship with the Lord like the Lord wants. I think so often we get caught up in this world that we forget about what we said when we said, I will make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Well, Michael Jordan had a different take on practice. Watch this short interview.
Yo, Mars Blackman here with my main man, Michael Jordan. Yo, Mike, what makes you the best player in the universe? Is it the vicious dunks?
No, Mars.
Is it the haircut?
No, Mars.
Is it the shoes?
No, Mars.
Is it the extra long shorts?
No, Mars.
It's the shoes then, right?
Nah.
Is it the short socks?
No, Mars.
Money is...
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
This whole thing about you practicing. I mean, if you talk to any of your teammates, they would say, even if they saw something in the game, it's like, shoot, you should have saw him Thursday. To practice with you was like they had a game instead of a practice.
When I got to the pros with Kevin Lockery, you know, when I was drafted number 3, Kevin Lockery used to put me on the starting 5. Used to be killing the second 5, but he wanted to test me out. So let's say we're going to 8, and it can be 5-1 or 5-2 against the second team. And if you lose, you got to run. He would switch me in the middle of the game to the second team. And I'm saying, well, okay, he's trying to prove a point. Boom, we'll bounce back and win the game. Those are all training tools for me. And every day in practice was like that to me. It was a competition. So when the game comes, it's nothing that I haven't already practiced. It's a routine. You know, whatever happens in the game now, okay, I've done this before.
Short for the win. Got it! At the buzzer, he's done it again!
Was fear of failure a motivator?
I never feared about my skills, you know, because I put in the work.
Damn. Put him away, MJ.
Work ethic eliminates fear.
Yes.
You know, so if you put forth the work, then what are you fearing? You know what you're capable of doing, what you're not.
We're down to 2, now to 1. Here's Jordan. Yes! It is all over. The Chicago Bulls have won at the buzzer.
As a member of the Chicago Bulls, the last shot.
What was that shot?
Game 6.
Utah.
The Bulls can win it right here. The Bulls can win it. Unbelievable. 13 seconds left. Jordan left side.
I practice as if I'm playing a game. So when the moment comes in the game, it's not new to me. That's the beauty of the game of basketball. That's the reason why you practice. That's the effort. So when you get to that moment, you don't have to think. Instinctively, things happen.
Jordan, a drive. With 45 points.
Now, do you see the difference? Michael Jordan won 6 championships. It would have been more if he didn't retire for 2 years to play baseball. Practice. If you do what you do in practice, then you've already done it and you're ready for the game. He says, I never failed because I put forth the work. And then he said, if you didn't catch it, work ethic eliminates the fear. How many of you this week were shocked to see inflation at 9.1%? What did they say? It's the highest it's been in 40 years? I can tell you, as much as I don't like that, obviously, it didn't surprise me or it didn't make me afraid. Because when you're in the Word of God every day, and you're talking with God, and you're hanging out with God, and you understand the things of God, then you can look at the things of this world and not worry or be afraid when it comes. Because you know who's in charge, and you've spent time with Him. Maybe you have to make extra changes or different changes in your buying habits and patterns. This week in Sevierville, we were getting takeout from Quaker Steak and Lube, which is, I love their chicken wings. Hadn't looked at the menu pricing, and it's been a year since I've been there, and I said, well, let's just get a bucket of wings. So a bucket of 20 chicken wings. How much do you guys think that costs? Anybody? $36. And all you got is a little bit of celery and blue cheese. And for you Southerners, you got ranch. That's it. $36 for 20 chicken wings. I told the boys, we got to do something different. I'm not spending that. But I love, he says, work ethic eliminates the fear. Your work ethic with the Lord, your diligence, your time in prayer, reading, studying, being with like-minded believers, coming to worship, will eliminate any of the fear that the world sends your way, especially for those who consume the news, which is hyped on fear. And so Paul shares in Romans 12 the thing that will help us in this process to get over this and to give everything rather than half-stepping. He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. This is our call and this is our mandate. What is your initial reaction when you read God's call to surrender and sacrifice? Paul urged all of us to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. In Paul's day, the idea of sacrifice was first with an animal, not yourself. But the sacrifice Paul had in mind was radically different for those who believed in Jesus, because Jesus gave everything of himself once and for all to be the sufficient sacrifice to bring glory to God. The idea of Christians presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice harkened back to the discussion of the body being dead to sin, because being alive in the Holy Spirit. In the 8th chapter in verse 10 of Romans, Paul says this, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. To live by the Spirit, we have to offer ourselves, our bodies, as sacrifices. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians in 6 and 7. In chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, listen to his words when he talks about how we are to worship God fully. He says in chapter 6, verse 14, God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it a part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For the scripture says the two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual immorality. Every sin the person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And it's every facet of our body. It's our mind, it's our heart, it's our mouth, it's our ears, right? And what he says here, look at this at the end of verse 19. You are not your own. Because the thing we need to understand is when we say the yes to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives with us, which means our bodies now are a temple, a sanctuary. We house the Spirit of God. And before Christ, the Holy Spirit was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of the temple. Only the high priest could enter there once a year to make sacrifice. So now, because that same Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us who says yes to Jesus Christ, we have a calling on our lives that our bodies no longer belong to ourselves, but they're part of an act of how we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it matters to God. It absolutely matters. And here's a step further for us married people who are Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. A wife does not have the right over her own body, but her husband does. In the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but his wife does. I told Linda this morning, we're just doing the first part of that. That we're taking scripture out of context, correct? So not even husbands and wives have a right to their own body, according to the Lord. You see, Paul explained this, Romans 12, of living holy and pleasing as our worship, as something that is logical and reasonable. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Logical. This is the logical thing we do when we accept Christ. The Greek word translated worship, there, this is your spiritual worship, is used to carrying out religious duties and services. This is your spiritual duty. This is your spiritual service to God, to worship Him fully rather than going halfway. During the Old Testament, priests made regular animal sacrifices, right, as an act of worship on behalf of the people. These sacrifices include killing the animal on the altar, and then they would sprinkle the blood on the tabernacle and in the Holy of Holies. And let me say this, in no situation did the animal die on the altar only to get back up, hobble down, head back out to pasture. No, once the animal was killed, once dead, always dead. Well, likewise, when we are accepting of what Jesus did and become His child and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we are finding ourselves and should be in the same place. But what most of us do with our spiritual sacrifice of surrender to God is we crawl off the altar. And we tell God we're fully His, only to crawl back down and hop back on when it seems to be convenient, or when we're in a crisis, or when we're in trouble. And we crawl back down off that altar, but then we hop on when, oh, well, I better go to church today. Or, you know what, I need God to intervene in my life. So let me get back on that altar of worship and I'll sacrifice myself today, but not every day. And that's what I mean by only going halfway or half-hearted. I mean, why? Why? If we've tasted the goodness of the Lord and know the truth of God and the truth of Scripture, why do we so often give half-hearted effort in our sacrifice to God? It rings the words of Allen Iverson, practice. Oh, we're just talking about worship. Oh, we're just talking about reading the Bible. Oh, we're just talking about praying. Oh, we're just... I still believe in the Lord. When Paul instructed us to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, what percentage of our time is he asking of? What about talents? What about our treasures? When has God shown you His ways are far superior to your own? Remember those times. The minute I said yes to Jesus and He started showing Himself to me, moment after moment, situation after situation, crisis after crisis, every single time, God showed me, even if I didn't understand it, that His ways were superior than my ways. So often our shortcomings disqualify us from being any use. And the first and foremost part of that is a lack of surrender to His will and purpose for our lives. We have to surrender ourselves. There's no such thing as a half surrender, is there? You know, either you're in or you're not. The two videos, Allen Iverson could care less about showing up for practice, and Michael Jordan, I practice because when I get in the game, I've already done it. I know what to expect. I will not fear. I think King David said the same thing. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? For your rod and staff, they comfort me. You anoint me in the presence of my enemies, and you prepare a table before them. Why? Because David had walked with the Lord so much that he did not fear whatever situation he found himself in. God has a plan for you and for me. And over the course of time, those plans may change. But he still has a plan and he still has a purpose. I tell people all the time, especially older folks who may be sick or maybe feel like they don't have much time left or they don't have a lot of use left. Oh, what can God do with me now? I'm just stuck here. Until God takes our last breath from us, there's a plan and a purpose for our lives. But if we just go at it with half a heart, with no desire, that's all we're going to get in return. You see, the key is called surrender. And as I close, let me ask you this morning, what would change in your life this week if you were to go all in for God? If you decided starting today or starting first thing tomorrow morning, you know, I haven't carved out daily time to hang out with God. What would it look like if you started doing that every day at the same time? Put it in your calendar. I'm busy at 7 in the morning. I have an appointment with the Lord. What would it look like this week if you decided to embrace practice with the Lord? Let us pray. Father, I thank you again, as always, for your scriptures. They are so clear that not only you call us to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be holy, which means we set aside our lives in service for you and to you, but you also call us that our bodies are as important as our spirit in its service and in its worship of you. Father, I pray that our hearts will be moved, number one, to desire you at the expense of everything else. And I pray that we as a congregation and in this community you have placed us with Galax and Grayson and Carroll counties, that we can help go forth and expel the fear of those around us. May we help those who don't know you to know you, where your perfect love and that sound mind will cast out all fear. I just praise you this morning and thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to our closing song, Shout to the Lord, I want to encourage you this morning. The altar's open to come forward for prayer. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that. If you want to be part of our congregation, we stand here before you to receive you. Please stand for our closing hymn, Shout to the Lord.
Days, I want to praise the one.
I want to share with you just quickly that I had the opportunity to not only meet Michael Jordan 21 years ago, but I got to sit with him and a few others in the team's lounge after the Wizards played in 2001 and got to talk to him for 15 minutes. And he was a professional gentleman. And it was, I didn't even ask for his autograph. I didn't even want to do that to him. But he was so welcoming and so kind, and I just want somebody who didn't even need to practice. He was the epitome of practice. And I just want to encourage you. Jesus did not die so we could half-heartedly hang out with him. He died because he loves you unconditionally and he wants you. May we want him just as much. And may that include the disciplines of practicing with him. Amen.